Now everybody's talking about something you can hear as the world passes by. Some are talking about their wealth and their mansions. Others talk about their trouble and their strife. Now I don't know how to talk to a rich man. When compared, I'm a beggar, no doubt. But if you're talking about that old-time religion, well, I know what you're talking about.
All right, thank you so much for taking a minute to listen to this brief podcast. We are nearly done with our study on regeneration and the essentials of regeneration. And so probably another two or three podcasts and we'll be done there. We did finish up here at the church and we will be starting a new study this coming Sunday. We took a little break in between and now we're going to start a study on marks of maturity in the Christian life. And so what I seek to do is to be able to help people examine themselves to find out where their strengths and weaknesses are and strengthen those weaknesses. And obviously the desired outcome is to be stronger Christians, to be better servants, to be more faithful, and to be a more confident testimony, you know, concerning Christ and his redemption and so forth. You know, I really believe that a big part of the problems culturally, and we can finger point all day long and say it's, you know, government's fault. We can say it's education and, you know, your living conditions, and everybody's looking for an excuse. And Adam did that. He blamed God. He said, the woman you gave me, she caused me to sin. And so everybody's finger pointing and not accepting responsibility. And I believe a big part of the problem that we're seeing culturally today, it starts with the local church. It starts with what takes place in the local church. The local church has an obligation under God to preach the word of God in such a way that the people of God mature spiritually. And Ephesians 4 talks about that, the building up, the edifying of the saints for what? The work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is not just inside the four walls of the church. The work of the ministry is global. You know, we should be the church militant as far as the gospel of Christ is concerned. You know, 1 Peter, I think it's 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart that you may be able to give an answer, you know, to give a reason of the hope that you have within you with meekness and fear. We ought to be the church militant. And it seems it's kind of turned around a little bit. Now it's the world militant pressuring the church. And people are adopting the ways of the world in the church and in their lives. And not only that, but the strange and peculiar teachings that the world has concerning God and the Bible and hell and heaven and sin and everything else. And they are peculiar and they are unbiblical. You say, well, what's the big deal with that? The big deal with that is you got a natural man who doesn't understand the things of God to begin with telling you what to believe concerning God. That's, it should be the other way around. The natural man is as lost as the day is long. And he cannot, apart from the Holy Spirit, understand those things. And he needs to be born again. And then the eyes of understanding, you know, they're opened to see those things which God has chosen to reveal to him or her from the scriptures. Now, what we're going to talk about today is the restored image. You know, man lost that image. You know, we hear, well, we're all made in the image of God, and then somehow that justifies some kind of sinful lifestyle. Well, the reality of it is, in Genesis chapter 1, yes, the Bible says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. But something happened in there. Man fell. Man rebelled against God, and that relationship was severed. Man needed to be reconciled to God. Sin and death entered into the world. So that image has been, it's been tainted by man's rebellion against God, by sin. And so Christ, now he comes and he dies and buried and rose again on the third day, and through Christ, that image is restored. And we live our days as Christians, striving to be more Christ-like, striving to be holy, striving to be righteous, striving to please God. We should, as believers, having the Holy Spirit in us and having sin and its power broken in our lives have a heartfelt desire to live separate from the vices and sins and all the strangeness that's going on in the world today. It shouldn't be the other way around. What are the churches doing? Well, we need to fill the pews. We need to get people in. We need to be seeker sensitive. We've got to tone down some of the harsher preaching. You know, here's the reality of it. You think about the harsher preaching, and Timothy deals with that over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And then he goes on in the next verse later, says, a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, and I look at some of these churches today, these mega churches, you know, 30,000 people in a stadium, and you got somebody up behind, the desk up there, the lectern or whatever, and they're putting out their psychology and whatever it is. You know, let me ask you this. What if the Apostle Paul preached in one of these stadiums? What if the Apostle Paul preached to one of those 30,000 member churches? How long do you think that church would remain at 30,000? And I'll leave that up to you to answer. Now, we're talking about restoring the image that was lost, and it was lost. In Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man. And that is our daily task as Christians. Now, jump over to Ephesians real quick with me, Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what he says here in verse number 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. What are we supposed to do? Put off the old man. You know what folks want to do today? They want salvation, but they want to keep the old man. Well, if you truly got saved, why would you want to keep the old man? You wouldn't want anything to do with the old man, because the Holy Spirit shows you how corrupt, how deceitful, how wicked, and how lost the old man was. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you, your desire is, hey, I want to live right. I want to do right. I want to honor Christ in the way I live and serve. I don't want to be doing the same things that I did before. Put on the new man. The old man is corrupt, deceitful lusts. And lust is deceitful. It'll always present itself in the best possible light. The most advantageous way to you to try to distract you from the things of God. It's deceitful. I remember some of the earlier cigarette ads. You know, I remember the Marlboro Man and many other things. And of course, that all that's changed now. You don't see those kinds of ads anymore. But it used to, you know, you see them up on the billboards and what have you, and it was always presented in the best possible way. Well, of course, now you realize that cigarette smoking causes cancer, among other things. And so that's not a very good way to end things out. But that's what sin does. It's deceitful. It's wicked. Now, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there is a contrast between who you were before you were saved and who you are now as a child of God. And who you are now as a child of God is modeled after Christ. You have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. You have the Holy Spirit moving in your life to make you more Christ-like, not only in your conversation and your mind and in your heart as well. We have the mind of Christ. You know, so all of this stuff comes into play when we have been born again. But it is important to remember that man lost that image, or at least the image was marred or tainted when man fell in the garden. And there were a number of things that were lost as a result of it. Number one, spiritually. Spiritually, man is dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So there's a disconnect right there. The spirit is dead. You need to be born again. Number two, morally. The unregenerate have very little, if any, moral compass. Now, God he's absolute in morality. He's perfect in morality. He's immutable when it comes to morals. But the world says moral relativism. There are no moral absolutes. And I don't think they realize how dangerous that statement is. There are no moral absolutes. There are moral absolutes. The Bible is a moral absolute. God has standards of holiness that he expects his people to follow. And then thirdly, we see intellectually. The unregenerate are spiritually discerned. They lack understanding and knowledge of God. And that's the whole point of this, to grow in knowledge, to grow in grace. Our walk with Christ should never become static. We should always be moving forward. Always moving forward in our understanding of things and our growth and our faith, our service to the Lord. We should always be going forward for the Lord. Now, when we talk about being made new again, what are some things that we can see that provided the way for us to be born again? Now, I would ask this before I read these off to you. I would ask this. Can a person be born again or made in the image of Christ by baptism? Certainly not. Can a person be made into the image of Christ by being a generous person? No, can't be. Can a person be made in the image of Christ by just going to church or maybe even claiming the religion of his parents? No, certainly not. No, there are some things that did take place. Number one, the atonement. Christ's mediatorial work bridges the gap for those who are unregenerate. Bridges the gap. There is a gap. There is an enmity between lost man and God. That gap was bridged through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the mediator. Obviously, that is Jesus Christ, and he does mediate between God the Father and his children. And so he mediates now. I should say he is our advocate, and he is also our mediator. Then we have God's word. I mean, what could we know of the fall? What could we know of man's depravity and holiness and righteousness without the word of God? And then we have the Holy Spirit, a constant in the life of the believer. And the Holy Spirit prompts us to do right. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin in our life. The Holy Spirit is a persistent reminder of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and what our duty is or duties are as Christians. So we're being made more and more into the image of Christ. That's on a daily basis. That comes as a result of our time in his word. That comes as a result of our time in the prayer closet. That comes as a result of our time in church, our time serving him. You know, that's one of the things I think would help a lot of people out is if you are involved in a ministry outside of the church, i.e. a nursing home or one of the outreach ministries like door-to-door type evangelistic ministries where you're dealing with people on a regular basis and you get to see struggles that they're dealing with in terms of their vices and so forth. And, you know, I thank God that I'm saved. I really am. I don't know where I'd be today if it weren't for the Lord. And I meet up a lot of folks that are given over to vices and they got a hold of them and they don't know how to overcome those things. They're in a dark place in their life, some of these folks. We know folks that are just dealing with the loss of a loved one and struggling in that department and don't know what to do with that. You know, we have the Word of God. We have the comfort of the Scriptures. We have the hope of eternal life. And so many people in this world have no hope at all. They're hopeless. They have no confidence. They have there's nothing beyond this world. And their only hope is in this world, and it's slipping away. We know Christ is eternal. And what God has promised us through Christ is also eternal. It is uncorruptible. It is reserved in heaven for us. And so each day that we live for Christ is a day that we become more and more like Christ in his speech, in his conduct, in his tenderness, in his mercy, in terms of his morality and righteousness, expectations, obedience and love, concern and care for others, and sacrifice. And so I'm going to bring this to a close right now. And the next one, I'm not sure which one I'm going to do next, but I'll get that recorded up next week and get that uploaded to the podcast for you folks. So take care and have a good day. God bless you.